I'm Stephen Gabitza here with the Dog Pound Daily Podcast. We are back for our second episode this week. And as always, I am joined by my co-host, Andrew Seipt. Andrew, this new style of podcast we're doing right here, this is your brainchild. What is...
You know, yeah, it
what's
is.
What's on the docket, man?
We've got the injury report for both teams, kind of what we touched on at the end of the last podcast. If you're able to listen all the way through, we got injury report for both teams, some current storylines heading in. Typically, we'll do a record breakdown for both teams, but obviously we're not going to do that in the second week of the preseason. An opponent breakdown, some fantasy, and also typically we do fantasy football impact, game predictions, and close it out with what we're looking forward to seeing on the field this coming week. So it's going to be a good show.
Yeah, so in the preseason, we're going to avoid our Richard Mullaney fantasy predictions. But this is a good model game prediction for this Monday night's game against the New York Giants. I remember the Browns did play the Giants on Monday night 2009, maybe? Wright?
No, it was 2008. Because it was right after that year that we did really
well.
Oh, it's when
they had four Monday night games.
Yeah, and Derek Anderson... like was throwing touchdowns at Kellen Winslow, and they were. I remember it was awesome. I was there. It was a great game to be there for because they.
And
sucked
there's a
that
YouTube
year.
Video called "Browns Punk the Giants." I've seen it many times.
Yeah,
and it's like an unofficial highlight tape.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was not. It was not the best of seasons. That I think that year, Jerome Harrison
have like 295 yards on Monday Night Football
against the Bills. Against it was Bills, crazy. Yeah, but
that year they had like four Monday Night games. And they went like 5-11 or something.
Wow. They must have been so... Oh, they were so bad. God, I hope that doesn't happen this year. Okay.
But back to this year.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago. That's crazy.
Yeah. Let's start it off. Injury report. We've got the news breaking yesterday. Cam Irving out. Joel Bitonio also going to be out. Steven, how does this parlay into how we might be able to evaluate the quarterbacks this week?
Well, first off, I just want to add really quick. Joel Bitonio said this is kind of precautionary.
Oh, okay.
So that's good news. Cam Irving, I mean, for your question of how it will affect the quarterback play, I think Cam Irving being out kind of gives us a good sense of how, you know, how well Sean Coleman can play. They're at the right tackle spot. So him being over there is going to be huge to see, you know, with the first teamers, if he's a reliable option at right tackle during the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
With Bitonio out, I mean, him being out, It's difficult in the sense where you're without a starting lineman. But, I mean, even last week, Joe Thomas didn't play, and we still kind of got a decent sense of the quarterback play.
Yeah, I'm just worried. I mean, you got Roger Johnson going against JPP, so that'll... I'm just hoping Osweiler doesn't get his head taken off, to be honest. The other guys, Ibrahim Campbell, James Wright, Marcus Burley, guys that are fringe players on the roster, but still something to take note of. Ibrahim Campbell... even if he was healthy, I think would have probably lost the job by now based on the way Peppers has been playing. But going back to Bitonio, you know, that's why I think it helps a lot to have depth like John Greco, Austin Ryder, you know, some of those guys.
Spencer Drango.
Exactly. Some of those guys that can play tackle, guard, center, you know, be kind of interchangeable back there should a guy like Bitonio, who has been known to, he's been very injury prone over his career thus far. It's great. It's good to have that depth back there.
Yeah. So shifting to the Giants, I mean, one of the real high profile one was Sterling Shepard had an ankle sprain at the beginning of the month, but he's fully back. He'll be out there.
I remember seeing something like when it first happened, they said that he was crying and like writhing on the ground. You know, I thought he was going to be, and then I didn't hear anything after that. I just wasn't following the Giants. And so
scared if his ankle twisted.
It's good now that he's back. He's going to be a good receiver in this league. So I'm anxious.
And they have
to
a receiving core with him, OBJ, and Brandon Marshall.
Brandon Marshall is a hell of an addition to that roster. Talk about a good compliment to OBJ. That's a guy that's going to go across the middle and or be a hell of a red zone target for Eli Manning.
I mean, if he was here, he'd be a number one receiver.
Oh yeah, I would take Brandon Marshall in a heartbeat. He's a good dude.
So do you have any other Giants injuries that we should know about?
Dwayne Harris, upper body injury, questionable. Duke Iheanacho, he's a safety, questionable as well. And Eli Apple, I believe, is still on the injury report. Former Ohio State Buckeye. Had a decent rookie season, so I think it'll be fun to watch his career progress. But that defense is pretty good.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see how the Browns do. I mean, look how bad they did against the Saints, which is pretty average to below average defense.
Yeah.
And now you got to go against... a defense that, you know, plays against the Redskins, Cowboys, and pretty much, I mean, holds their own. They got whooped in the playoffs against the Packers.
Yeah, it kind of plays into the next part of our topics, which was some of the current storylines surrounding both teams. You know, you look at Brock Osweiler being the starting quarterback, and as you mentioned, you know, not really being able to move the ball against the Saints. How do you think he's going to fare, not only with a beat-up offensive line, but maybe this improved time with the ones creates a little bit of movement? What are you looking for out of Brock Osweiler this week?
You know, I want to believe that this week playing with the ones, first-team offense, will make all the difference, but I don't know. I mean, he's kind of set as the starter now for the regular season, unless he has a just miserable next three games. I mean, Thomas came out and said, I think he's going to be the starter. But, I mean, it's tough to say what we should see from him because, you know, it's just preseason. But I think just I'll set a small goal, not going three and out on the first possession, given receivers don't drop passes.
Yes, I think that's a huge.
And just accuracy.
Yeah, he has not been accurate, even in practice. I see some of the beat media just talking about how he's overthrowing receivers still. You know, that was a thing that he struggled with in Houston. He couldn't make all the throws, and that's something that can't happen in Hugh Jackson's offense, in any offense for that matter. You need to be able to complete passes. He had 7 points taken away because Kenny Britt couldn't get that foot down. Maybe if it's a little bit underthrown, he gets that ball in there. Seth DeValve, another touchdown taken away with an overthrow. You can't miss these kind of throws in the NFL, and if he continues to do that, I think it's going to be more and more leaning towards Kaiser because you can't miss those opportunities in the NFL.
Yeah, if Brock starts a regular season opener and the Browns are 1-3 or 0-4 after four games, I think Kaiser's going to be in there. And I think the storyline they'll watch from this is is Osweiler doing enough to where he has the full confidence of Hugh Jackson
and the team.
Yeah, if Kaiser's out there throwing 50-yard bombs again, I mean, it's going to be Hugh Jackson's going to have to go out there like a politician and be like, we're looking at all our options.
Yeah,
we don't want to rush to Kaiser. Everyone's going to be like, look, this is your best quarterback. He's a rookie, but I mean, so I think it's going to be, is Brock Osweiler doing enough to where it's not almost a lie to name him, you know, have full confidence in him as a starter?
I think I touched on it in previous podcasts. You know, that's one thing I really don't like about a quarterback competition. This is an exact reason why, you know, no one's really separated themselves. And I understand the need for it because Kaiser's not ready. And that's why I picked Brock Osweiler to start the season as the number one quarterback. I think it's a tall task to go into Pittsburgh, Baltimore, Cincinnati in your first three out of your first four games in the NFL and be asked to do that. I mean, that's tough. So I'd rather have Brock Osweiler go in there and take the hits if he's able to move the ball on offense. I think that's the huge key. And like I agree with you. I think Osweiler is pretty much penciled in as the starter unless he comes out and torpedoes himself tomorrow, Monday night.
Yeah. He's already played pretty poorly throughout his career and last week. So I think really, I don't see any reason why he won't be the starter, but yeah, throwing Kaiser out there in an ideal world, it'd be, we get to see what our rookie has, but yeah, three division games right away and then playing the Colts too. It'd derail the season before the proper time when Browns fans can claim the season is over around halfway through.
Yeah.
Another storyline to look at. Yeah. Browns focused is, will a wide receiver step up this week? And not Richard Mullaney. Will a starting wide receiver step up? I mean, like you said, Kenny Britt, when you watched that replay of last week when he caught that pass in the end zone, he could easily drag his foot. Mm-hmm. He's a veteran receiver. Maybe it's because it's preseason. He didn't want to slam on his face. I don't know. But
I'd rather will score he step a touchdown.
Up? Will Coleman get on the stat sheet more so than just like one, you know, 10-yard catch from Brock Osweiler in a third long situation? Will any of the group from Jordan Payton, who had a good week last week, Rashard Higgins or Ricardo Lewis do anything? It's like we have these four receivers we drafted. None of them. We had to go get Kenny Britt.
Yeah, I think Jordan Payton got moved up on the depth chart, if I'm not mistaken. I think I saw Tony Grossi tweet that out, but I looked at the depth chart and then he was like sixth still. So it was unofficial. You know, maybe that's changed, but If he's a guy that's making plays, you know, the Browns can take whatever they can get at this point.
He had a nice catch last week.
That includes Richard Mullaney.
If Richard Mullaney keeps putting up big numbers, he's going to make the team. I mean, it's crazy to say.
It's not. Well, I think it is kind of crazy to say.
You don't want him
to
be the guy that steps up.
No, I think it is kind of crazy to say because do you remember the Josh Lenz? Who was the other guy? Carlton Mitchell. These guys that come into camp, you know, that have this get touted as having this untapped potential, but end up, you know, just kind of falling flat.
There's a reason why they're in Browns training camp undrafted.
Exactly. And they're like, reason why they're undrafted, a reason why they're playing with the 6 and 7 stringers. I just look at Richard Mullaney as another type of one of those guys, or another one of those guys, but I hope he proves me wrong.
I just like the name Richard Mullaney, and he had 70 receiving yards.
How many was on that big catch? 60? 55?
I think it was 53, 52.
Yeah. Well, that's still, that means he had a 17-yarder, so that's pretty good. That's still not a bad average. So.
Yeah, but just to see any of the top guys step up, just even throwing just let the receivers run downfield this time.
Yeah. Shifting over to the Giants, like you mentioned, you've got the Sterling Shepard injury scare. I assume he's probably not going to play. They would probably hold him out, although I could be wrong. I have not looked at that. But my big storyline is just the overall improvement of the Jets defense from...
You mean the Giants?
Did I say the Jets?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yes, definitely the Giants defense.
The Jets defense is going to be brutal.
Yes, the Jets are going to be terrible. Let's shift the focus back to the Giants defense and the year to year. You know, they've had a whole year with each other, a whole training camp to really understand and really figure out their roles of where they're supposed to be on the field and in what coverages, where almost like the Browns defense, where you're not thinking so much about what you have to do and you're just playing football. And there's a couple players on that defense that I think are stud players. They're probably not going to play very much, but I think they'll have a big impact on the 2016 season, and we'll get into that as the podcast progresses. What's your...
It has to help when you know your offense has, like, a legitimate playmakers. Probably gives you more confidence on defense. But my storyline, so I just want to do a quick search earlier. I just did, like, you know, New York Giants. You just Google New York Giants, and it's all about their left tackle, Eric Flowers, who's been struggling his whole tenure there. So it'll be fun to see if Myles Garrett just destroys him.
When was he drafted?
It's his third year there.
Oh, okay. I thought he was younger. But
Myles Garrett is going to be an elite player. So for Giants fans, too, it's a good test to see, hey, how does he hold up?
Yeah, that's part of my – we'll get into it later. Just things to watch is Myles Garrett, because that's – honestly, that's the part of the reason why I'll watch any Browns game this year is just to watch Myles Garrett play. He's so good. I can't wait to see what he can do this year. Some of the other storylines that I saw, I went on the Giants website looking at just the Eli Manning, Brandon Marshall connection. I was reading an article about how Eli's just shooting him questions and seeing where he's at in the playbook, and Brandon Marshall's picking it up quite nicely, so the chemistry could be there already. And if you add a 6 foot,
that's
five
a crazy receiving core
monster next to one of the most electrifying wide receivers in football. I mean, that offense could be something to be reckoned with. It typically is. You know, as long as Eli can limit the turnovers, they can be a real threat in the NFC this year.
Yeah, they're a weird team. It's either Eli Manning looks like a Hall of Famer or he's just throwing away games.
Exactly.
But it should be better with two, you know, dominant receivers. Probably helps when if you're in a third and long situation, you could throw it to a giant receiver on the outside.
Yeah.
Or have OBJ streaking down the sideline.
Well, even when Brandon Marshall's playing for the Jets, I mean, throughout his career, he's been the master of the comeback route, running 20 yards or the deep out, you know, similar to what Josh Gordon used to do, just running down the field, turning around, catching the ball and being able to do something with it. Yeah. And he's a huge body. So something that plays into or to transition away from that, you know, impact players to watch. I kind of shifted more towards the offensive side of the ball as I talked more about the defense. Eli Manning was one of those players, but there's also one of his targets, Evan Engram, tight end from Ole Miss. He's a rookie, has had some flashes so far in camp and could be a real deep threat, or not deep threat, a real red zone threat. Seeing as how Brandon Marshall and OBJ could be the ones seeing most of the coverage.
I have a player. It's not exactly an impact player, but it's just someone to watch because it's kind of interesting. Is Geno Smith. Been reading a lot on how he's still playing sloppy in camp there. So he's probably going to get a lot of playing time. I think it'll be interesting to see one side how he does and if his career is just spiraling out of control, because the Giants, although Eli wants to play for a few more years, they need someone in waiting. And I also want to see how the Browns do against Geno Smith, who, although he's not that good, was an NFL starting quarterback and will give a little better experience, I think, than last week.
Yeah, guys like Chase Daniel that not necessarily...
Career backup.
Like, yeah, Geno's played probably almost 30 games in the NFL.
But he still had starts,
career,
so it's a good test.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. You know, I think watching Geno Smith play is going to be very painful, at least as a Giants fan.
It'd be good
fan.
For us.
I think, wasn't there talk this year that the Browns should sign Geno Smith or that they worked him out? I think they did work him out.
Yeah, I think they were just seeing everyone... Before they traded for the savior, Brock Osweiler.
Yeah. Another one of my players to watch is Jerome Lane. He's an undrafted free agent wide receiver. They had written some articles that he's popped out in practice a little bit, making some tough catches. And in his first preseason game, he only had 2 catches, 27 yards, with a long of 19 yards. But he's targeted 5 times and possibly a guy that if Sterling Shepard is forced to miss any time in the regular season – or if there's an injury in the wide receiver core, just be that kind of Taylor Gabriel fourth wide receiver that sees some extended targets when the coverage is split elsewhere. So just another guy to watch, especially with the twos and threes on the Browns defense.
I want to add a few guys for the Browns.
Oh, okay. I only did
jokingly.
Giants.
I wrote down Richard Mullaney, but I have a point for it.
All right.
He was a leading receiver last week. I want to see if he does it again,
yeah,
because it's good for him, but it's bad for the offense. I think it's something to keep an eye on.
No, it definitely is. And it even goes back to your point of just what are the wide receivers going to step up? Is anybody from that group going to step up?
Yeah, because like, players to watch for me is just like the whole receiving core.
Yeah, we've seen
like first and second teamers, because if you're coming in with a second team offense and you're dominating at receiver, you're quickly going to jump guys.
Yeah,
like, the front office doesn't care. I mean, at this point, if they drafted you this year, you're going to get a good shot. If they drafted you even just last year and you're getting beat, it's like, hey, we're just going to cut them, move past.
Yeah, and I know even talking about the wide receivers, we've seen that the quarterbacks are making good throws. Last week, the quarterbacks did not play all that bad because there were a lot of times where the receivers were just dropping the ball. Like, big drops in big moments that could have made Brock Osweiler's day a lot better than maybe some of the criticism he got on his stat line.
Yeah, if Seth DeValve dives and somehow comes up with that catch, completely different way we look at how Brock played.
Yeah, Kessler had another 30-yarder. Yeah, Kessler had a 30-yarder that was dropped over the middle before the end of the half that would have set up a field goal. You know, you look at that drive, and you even mentioned it was one of your negatives that he fluttered it out of bounds. But if I think it was Josh Boyce or Ronnell Hall, you know, if he makes that catch, we're not talking about how Kessler flutters it out of the end zone. They're talking about how one of the kickers made or missed a field goal.
Yeah, I actually saw a tweet from another Browns writer who was watching the coach's film and said that pass he threw out of bounds, there wasn't a Hail Mary play. It was just a run off the clock play.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah. So it just, I mean, he was, but they probably ran that because he couldn't get it there.
Yeah. Yeah. So kind of moving into now the strengths and weaknesses of just the Giants, what would you say are some of the strengths that you had written down in the pre-show? What do you think are some of the strengths of the New York Giants?
Like them as a whole for the upcoming season?
Yeah. I mean, what are some of the things that you know that, you know, you've got Pittsburgh, they're obviously an offensive juggernaut. So what are you looking at when you see the Giants? What are some things that pop out to you as a strength for them?
So maybe not a strength, but a potential strength is Eli Manning having a late career resurgence. It's not like he's been declining heavily, but I mean, just pulling a, you know, Tom Brady and just having 3 years of just dominance. I mean, when they go to the Super Bowl, or when they've gone to the Super Bowl and won, like, you look at Eli, it's like, oh, this guy may be a Hall of Famer. And a lot of people will not laugh at it, but be like, oh, I don't know, he's not that good. But how many quarterbacks have won a Super Bowl? It's just interesting to see they're surrounding him with weapons. The receiving core is obviously a strength. And his only real weakness is that left tackle position, because he's an older quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't have a – which is crazy to me that the Browns have the best left tackle and they're horrible.
Yeah.
And a team like the Giants, who's a legit title contender every year, has problems at left tackle. Yeah. What about you? What do you have?
I mean, defense, we talked about it early on. I think the defense is definitely a strong suit for them. But something you mentioned as a strength was the weapons around Eli Manning. I think the one thing that they have failed to surround him with throughout his entire career, ever since they've had Brandon Jacobs, and this is my weakness, is their running game. You know, they haven't had a solid running back in there, maybe even since Tiki Barber. You know, what they've got right now, Orleans Darkwa, Shane Vereen, Paul Perkins, and there might be one more that I'm missing, but he's obviously not somebody that's an impact player. So at some point, these guys have got to find a running back that's a workhorse, that's going to take some of the pressure off Eli to maybe limit some of the turnovers that have plagued him throughout his career.
Yeah, even just a manageable back like an Isaiah Crowell is like, we're not, because the Giants, you know, say they're a pass heavy team and they want to just really not focus on the running back position. You still need a legit back there.
Yeah.
Because when they were winning their titles, they had that like three headed monster.
Yeah.
It was like Jacobs, Ahmad Bradshaw, and someone else I'm forgetting.
I forgot about him. It was, no, I don't know, actually. I thought it was just Ahmad Bradshaw. Brandon Jacobs was just a power man. He was like 6'4", just big running back. Something you don't see very often anymore.
And I want to ask you really quick, just for fun, since it's preseason, can I get a score prediction out of you for this game?
It's so volatile, though, because you don't even know. I mean, it depends on who plays well. Is Eli going to play, do you think?
I was reading that he's going to play in the preseason. Okay.
He'll probably get like
So the Giants tries, scored 12 points last week.
Yeah, I don't think their backups are that good, so it's going
to
be.
Here, I'll help you out. Mine is 20-17 Browns to go 2-0.
Okay, I'm going to go. I think the offense has a little bit of a resurgence in the third and fourth quarter, similar to last week. So I think I'm going to go 24-13 Browns.
Woo.
And the Giants, but the Giants do score on one of their two. Like if Eli plays two drives, I think Eli scores on one of those two. Like I think they'll score early on the Browns first team defense.
Hey, but all you got, you know, all that matters is that W in preseason, as they say.
Well, I think it matters this year, seeing as how we went 1-15 last year and 1-19 technically.
1-19.
So I think we're just happy to get any win we can at this point.
And it sounds like funny to some people probably who aren't Browns fans, but just preseason games, while they don't matter, no one wants to lose. So just getting a win, it just helps in practice too, because you're
morale,
not pressing.
Confidence, you know, it's just like, especially for those rookies last year, only winning one game, especially that late in the year.
At the end of the season.
Yeah, you've got to have just some sort of taste of winning. And I think Hugh Jackson's talked about it before, but just getting these guys accustomed to winning, because once you're winning, you don't want to lose that feeling. It makes losing worse.
And they're at
home,
too, so they're getting cheered for, at least last week, and they will be this week. But, I'm fine. I mean, imagine going out and losing every preseason game, because even though you say it's just preseason, in the back of your mind, it's like, man, we couldn't even score in their second-team defense.
Yeah. So we've talked a lot about the Browns offensively and what we're going to expect out of the quarterbacks. As well as, I mean, what we're going to see from the Giants offensively and defensively, but we haven't really touched on the Browns on the defensive side of the ball outside of the obvious of Myles Garrett. What are some things defensively that you'd like to see that maybe you didn't see enough of in the first game?
I'd say the main thing is just the starting defensive tackles putting up any sort of defense against the run.
Yeah.
You can't get gashed in a preseason game or any game.
Yeah.
But last week it was just Danny Shelton up front, who, I mean, has always looked at as kind of the anchor on that line, and just no pass rush. And then when they ran, it was just several 10 plus yard runs.
He should never get blown off the ball.
Exactly.
You know, he's huge. He should not get blown off the ball like he did last week.
I guess to expand it to just the whole defensive line. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's obviously difficult for someone like Myles Garrett to stop runs up the middle every time. But just just not giving up any big runs. It's
there was
preseason.
A play, yeah. There was a play last week where I think it was one of those Kamara runs that he broke for 20, 30 yards. And Garrett and Joe Hayden knocked him out of bounds, but Garrett was right behind him, like chasing him. Yeah, he's 30 like yards the fastest guy on the field. You know? Yeah, it's so much fun to watch. And if he can keep giving that kind of effort, you know, it's going to be more than one.
Yeah,
play
if you
like
want any
week.
Play that's a long lasting defensive play, Myles Garrett is usually chasing someone down.
Imagine he reminds me of almost the Water Boy, like, you know, just that, just running around like his hair is on fire, and when he hits you, he wants to kill you. So I'm excited to see what he can do, especially taking advantage of the struggling Ereck Flowers, like you mentioned early on in the podcast.
Yeah, I think another thing they'll watch for is how the secondary does against these stud receivers.
Yeah.
Will Joe Hayden get burnt for a touchdown? I don't know if Peppers is going to, I don't think he's playing with the first team.
I would think so. Did you hear the week of practice that he had? I would think he's definitely starting. I think he is starting, actually. Kindred at strong safety and Peppers at free safety.
True, I guess with Ibrahim Campbell out too.
Yeah.
Calvin, I guess Pryor, just how he responds.
Calvin Pryor, I heard, is not really showing too much in practice, so I think he's probably going to get cut. McCourty, I haven't heard too much about how he's doing, so I'm not particularly sure what to expect from him. Him and Jamar Taylor as well. So I just,
well, Taylor's
need to
here
see,
to stay on that deal he signed, so you see how he responds too against the wide receivers.
You know what the NFL stands for, right? Not for long.
I know. I just mean they're committed to him. At least he's not going to get cut.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, he had a resurgence in Cleveland, which is something that I haven't really heard too often from players coming to Cleveland as free agents or via trade. So hopefully he can anchor down that number two cornerback position and take some of the pressure off of the safeties and Joe Hayden. So, you know, one storyline, or not storyline, I would say one matchup that I was looking forward to watching, and you, I hope I'm not taking yours here, but it was Myles Garrett versus the Giants O-line.
And we kind of touched on that one with Flowers too.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, based on the look you just gave me via FaceTime, it's I thought I might've taken your idea, but like,
nah,
I said, I can wing one.
I
just want to watch Myles Garrett just beat people up all day. You know, he's a monster, and finally nice to see a first round pick pan out in Cleveland. How nice is that?
I mean, it's early to say a pan out, but let's just say not be a distraction,
playing, you know,
or not like clearly going to start. That's nice.
He's not oversleeping or missing practices or coming in hungover or.
Not even just Manziel comparisons, but just he's a dominant player and he was taken number one overall. And it's like, oh yeah, he deserves it. It wasn't like a Phil Taylor where it's like, he seems pretty good, but I don't know. It's like, no, we got the best player available.
Yeah. So now that I stole your thunder, what is your one matchup that you're looking forward to watching on Monday night?
I'm going to say DeShone Kizer versus just Kizer versus that second team defense. Because last week, I mean, he lit it up, but it was against the third and fourth stringers, which to me doesn't matter as much as some people make it out to be. But him against a defense filled with people who will likely be on an NFL roster, maybe not starting, but will be on the team. Just how he does that, because if he has another game like he did last week and Brock struggles, like who's going to get the most playing time in week three when the, you know, starters mostly play the most time they're going to play in the preseason.
Yeah, that's true. I just want Kizer to play well in general. I want him to win the job outright and prove, I wouldn't say the haters, but just prove people wrong that he
doubters.
Yeah. Cause I hate saying the word haters, but haters. Proving the doubters wrong that he can succeed in the NFL early on. I don't want him to take some hits, you know, bad hits. Like, but that kind of stuff happens in football. You know, you're not going to play with bubble wrap on. And people who watched that game last week and say he should sit for a year with a clipboard, you know, I think it's just a little bit ignorant because you're not really.
Yeah, so a good
point.
It was like how many really good quarterbacks benefited from sitting out a year? And it's like Aaron Rodgers is exempt because Brett Favre was there.
Yeah. He would have started if Brett Favre had not been there.
Yeah. And it's like, how many guys were planned to sit out a year and then became like superstars?
Yeah, not many. So again, if he's,
because you
if
have
he's
to go in there
deal,
and struggle to learn.
Yeah, it's a huge learning curve. I heard a rumor about, because obviously when you get the playbooks in the NFL, it's an iPad now. So they can, it's all, and I think they have some sort of tracking on there where they see how much you've looked at your playbook, or they can probably track, you know, how many times you've accessed it, when you've accessed it. So I had heard a rumor that Johnny, his first year, just never touched it, you know. He knew he wasn't playing, so he just never bothered to prepare like the starter. And it was pretty evident when he got thrown in there that week against Cincinnati. So DeShone Kizer's shown that he wants to put in the work off the field, staying late after practice, and I assume getting there early. So I'm excited for the future of DeShone Kizer, if you couldn't tell already.
A real NFL quarterback. So as we're winding down here in energy and the show, just kidding, I'm pretty hyped up. What is your interesting storyline from around the NFL to look at this week as a, you know, second week of preseason games gets underway?
I actually just watched the first two episodes of Hard Knocks, and so watch Roberto Aguayo getting cut after being a second round
pick. Was that on
the
recent episode?
Yeah, it was crazy. Wow. So it was kind of a storyline for Tampa Bay going into the, like, something they were following through the episodes. And I think he went like two for three, or two for four, he missed an extra point and then missed
a field goal.
Yeah, and that was like, you could tell some of the players were like, man, someone's got to take this job, you know, two kickers. Like, even they were practicing, and guys are like just taunting him because you got to be mentally tough as a kicker.
Yeah, they're doing it like from a good place.
Yeah.
Like trying to like get him over it.
He's like, this one's going wide right, you know. He's like, I know it's going wide right. And he's like, the defender's like, you're not going to make it. And Aguayo pushes it right, and he goes, oh, wide right. I was right anyway, you know. It's like, you've just got to be able, as a kicker, you've got to be mentally tough. And maybe it was a little technique, and maybe it was just some
confidence. I don't even think it's
issues,
the yips with him, because he said, he's like, yeah, like, I thought I was kicking it. After the game, he's like, I was kicking it well. I just pushed it a bit. It's like, yeah. Well, I mean, that's your job.
Yeah, and they, because seeing that kind of thing happen, you know, you never see people like NFL players getting released on video, so they call him into the office, and
I actually saw the clip. I just didn't know that was gonna be on like this recent episode.
It's like, if you're Roberto Aguayo, though, like, I feel like, you know, that like what's coming, you have to know.
And he landed
coming
on a new team the next day. He's with the Bears now.
Who did the Bears? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, good. They told him, they're like, you're gonna get a second chance, you know. And kicker, it happens with kickers all the time. Vinatieri got cut from New England, went, he had a super career in New England, and then went to Indianapolis, and he's still firing from all cylinders. So,
yeah, kickers, you never really stay with the same team unless you're like a Phil Dawson.
Yeah,
I miss a hero.
Miss that guy.
All right, so my storyline, to get away from kicker chat, it's just how it's kind of a rest of the preseason. If the Cowboys really make any changes to their offense with Ezekiel Elliott going to be out. But, I mean, they have Darren McFadden and Alfred Morris down there. I don't think it's going to be too different, but since they are one of the most talked about teams in the NFL, this is probably going to be discussed on a week-by-week basis. So just to see if they change anything, really, or if they just run their same exact offensive plan with those two guys.
Yeah, I think Darren McFadden's a pretty good – I mean, he played pretty well in 2014 before they had Zeke, or 2015, behind that offensive line. But to your point – they lost a couple guys on the offensive line this year, too. Doug Free retired, and I believe someone got hurt. Lael Collins, maybe?
I'm not sure. I try to avoid Cowboys news.
A few guys on that offensive line that could cause some problems in the run game, but again, you've got Dak Prescott, Dez Bryant, and a pretty decent defense, so I think they'll be all right.
I'd like to add a bonus storyline. I would like to see if my hero Mitch Trubisky has another great game, and Mike Lennon throws a pick six on his third play.
Yeah, I was actually with a lot of people in my company that live in Chicago, and just kind of picking their brain on Mike Glennon and Mitch Trubisky, and it was just similar thoughts to what you had last week, because I listened to the podcast, last week's podcast, on the way home.
Oh, you listen to our podcast?
I do. You know, since I edited, so nice. I edited the last one. Of course, I listened to it. I got to make sure it sounds right. But they said, you know, if Glennon plays another week like he did last week, you know, they're going to have no choice.
A team should get him and Brock Osweiler and just play a salary cap game and see how they can manage it.
Maybe Brock Osweiler 2.0. Yeah.
No, but I think with the rookies currently playing now, I mean, there's another battle too. Deshaun Watson going up against Tom Savage.
Who do you think's going to win that one?
I think Watson's going to win. I'm just saying Savage Watson is the starter right now.
Well, part of the reason, too, that they succeed early on is, again, going up against second and third string, but they also dumb the playbook down a little bit. So you're not giving him the full scope of what he could be doing at that level, like versus the first and third string, because you are bringing him along. You don't want to throw too much at him and overwhelm him and then cause him to lose confidence. So I think that this year's, and Patrick Mahomes played pretty well too, I think this year's crop of quarterbacks is pretty promising.
I agree. Pat Mahomes is definitely a podcast favorite before he got drafted to the Chiefs.
Weird though. Did you hear? He talks so weird. He has a weird voice.
Hey, as long as he throws touchdowns.
Exactly.
But I think this is a good spot to leave off here, as everyone can listen Friday at work before the weekend. Who doesn't like a good Friday podcast?
Well, you can even listen Monday before the game, you know, just get a little scoop on what's going on. You can
listen whenever.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be some things that happen between now and then. So, yeah, it'll be hopefully the Browns can come out Monday night with a win.
I agree. I would love for the Browns to go 2-0 so the Super Bowl chance can continue. Their Super Bowl chance at training camp right now. So, you know, if they win, people will be like, well, they won on Monday Night Football. I'd be like, you know what? You're right. They sure did. Well, but we're going to have to do, probably next week, we're going to have to do a recap and a look forward, because they're playing so many games. Their next three games are in like 10 days.
Okay.
But we'll figure that out.
Just going to talk a little bit about an article that's going to be dropping in the next couple days. We've got a CBS pick 'em pool. I tweeted out the link on my own Twitter at @Andrew_Seibt, S-E-I-B-T. We want you, your fan engagement, you know, we want you guys to join this pool and participate with some of the Dog Pound Daily writers. And we're going to write an article each week going over who did well, who were the biggest risers, current standings, things like that, you know, just as a way to interact with our fans, because you guys are the reason why we're able to talk about these things and give us a platform to talk about our favorite teams. So go ahead and join that. And we look forward to playing with you.
Yeah. Also with that, we're going to have a post going up too, just kind of calling in for, not calling in, but putting out a call for people to give us topics they want to hear on the podcast. You could tweet at Andrew's handle, which, as you said, it was Andrew_Seibt, S-E-I-B-T. That's Andrew Seibt.
I realize it's kind of a tough name to spell, or tough. Like if you were listening to it, you're like, how the hell do you spell that? So I figured I'd spell it out for him.
And I believe you said the hashtag was AskDPD.
Yes, yes. Hashtag AskDPD. You can tweet at Steven Kubica or myself.
Or Dog Pound Daily.
Or Dog Pound Daily. And you can also email us. You know, there'll be an article going up describing where you can contact us. You know, we want to answer some of your questions on air. Obviously, we want to talk about the Browns. But if there's a loosely related NFL topic that you guys just want a question about, you want our thoughts on, you know, that's something that we would be more than willing to answer. So send us your questions. We want more fan driven content than just us two buffoons talking about the post 99 Browns.
And with that, we will be signing off. Remember to subscribe to us on iTunes. It's the easiest way to get every episode delivered to you as soon as it's uploaded. And as always, thank you for listening.